Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cybersecurity Matters. My name is Christian, and with me, joining me virtually, is my co-host, Mr. Dominic Vogel. Dominic, I am super excited to introduce today's guest. Tell the audience who it is.
He is a cybersecurity rock star. He is someone who I have looked up for to almost my entire professional career. Adam Shostak, I'm a proud owner of his threat modeling textbook. Worked for Microsoft for many, many years. I think he's the closest thing to a security megastar that we've had on the show. So this is going to be an epic conversation.
Agreed. So let's stop talking. Let's bring Adam on and we will be right back.
Adam, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join Christian and I. I'll definitely admit that I'm having a fanboy moment. I probably should have taken the books out to show you, but I have your books that you wrote, and I read them earlier in my career, and they're still on my bookshelf. So for me personally, it's pretty cool to be able to have you on our podcast. So welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here, and thank you for your kind words as we're kicking off.
Yeah, absolutely. And Adam, I'm definitely a fan as well. So we want to let our business audience know who you are. You have quite an interesting story to get you to today and all the cool things that you're involved in. Your past includes a stint of almost 10 years at Microsoft. How'd you get there? What were you up to there? And what are you up to now?
Sure. So the simple truth is I was working at a startup and the startup failed sort of miserably. And I said, I need a break from this. I need a chance to refresh my batteries. And I said, I'll go to Microsoft for 2-3 years, get some stability into my life, and then go. And at the end of that 2 years, I realized I was having a blast. I was in a position to influence the design of products like Windows and Office and Xbox. I was in a position where the company asked me to figure out some hard problems, and when I was figuring them out, said, great, this isn't a competitive advantage problem, how we secure our systems. This is something our customers need to know. Go share what you're learning. And so that was really an amazing opportunity. I'm grateful to the leadership who made that happen and who gave me a chance to really go and share some of these things. And so about 5-6 years ago, the world was changing. That team was going through reorgs. I left, I became a consultant, and these days I'm working with all sorts of organizations, helping them understand how do we integrate security into what it is we're building rather than bolting it on.
Mm-hmm. So thinking about what we call cybersecurity by design from the beginning, so much more effective, so much cheaper, so much less time if you can start with that as part of the design of your service or your product or your system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you hear the jargon shift left. And the idea there is that you're shifting to the left of the plan, right? Early on when you have a chance to really influence what's happening.
That's good.
And so, yeah, that's the core of what I do these days.
I may be taking notes as we talk. Little learning nuggets along the way. I fully expect that.
Adam, one of the things that I definitely wanted to ask you was around threat modeling. That's still one of my favorite books. And the way that you wrote it was just so approachable. And one of the things I'd love to sort of hear from you to tell our audience is what is threat modeling and why is it something that businesses, even small and mid-sized businesses, should be looking at to better understand sort of the actual cyber risks that are facing their organizations.
So let me start by explaining the term, and thank you for saying that the book is approachable. A lot of hard work, but I'm glad that it shows like that. And let me explain the term. Threat modeling is using models to help us think about security. It's helping us see the forest, not the trees. And at the heart of threat modeling are four very simple questions. What are we working on? What can go wrong? What are we going to do about it? And did we do a good job? Those are questions any business of any size can ask and answer. You don't need to have a PhD in cybersecurity to start thinking about the question, what can go wrong? And that's what makes it so powerful. And we can get into, if you want to, specific techniques about how do you answer the question, what can go wrong? But you can start out by just asking yourself those four questions, asking your product leads those four questions, asking your developers those questions, and seeing what comes back.
One of the interesting pieces there on that, Adam, and I'll not to throw Zoom under the bus, but you know, there seems to be that disconnect in which, you know, often there's maybe the technical or development team may have or at least be thinking about the security ramifications and threat modeling. But you know, I remember hearing the CEO of Zoom saying that, you know, he never thought that the security and privacy requirements were going to be so important and that it was going to sort of come to this head. And how do you sort of bridge that disconnect between sort of the technical groups, which again may or may not have sort of that security buy-in, with the business executives, those who and more often than not aren't thinking about the security ramifications? How do we sort of bridge that gap or build a conduit?
So I don't want to pick on Zoom either. Some of the decisions that they made very clearly prioritized usability over security. And here I'm thinking of the Mac web server that they installed. Mm-hmm. The ability of business people to make prioritized decisions, that's essentially the job of an executive, is to make these trade-offs. And sometimes we like the answers that they give us, and sometimes we don't. The goal that I see with threat modeling is to illustrate what the choices are. Did people realize, and again, I don't want to pick on Zoom, but just to be explicit about this, was the fact that data was being sent to China known and understood by the VP engineering, by the VP product management, or not? If you threat model, if you draw a picture of what we're working on that shows where your data is going, then someone is going to look at that and say, huh, data about all call initiation is running through China? I don't know if it actually is in Zoom or not. I haven't looked into that detail. Yeah. But if you put that detail into a project plan, then our executives can make decisions about it. If it's implicit in the mind of two developers who are writing that particular code, it's hard to extract that knowledge and get it to the right level. And so the goal of structuring our work into those four questions gets to what you're asking about with regards to prioritization. It gets to the idea that the CEO said, I didn't think security was that important, whatever the exact words were. That's a choice that he made for his company, and his company built a great product and is satisfying an awful lot of users with that decision in place. The work that they're doing today in scrambling to catch up and bringing in an army of consultants and having a weekly webinar on what they've changed in the last week in their product, that's expensive. I'm reasonably confident they would like to be scaling, selling, developing new features that address the market needs that have come into our world in the last 60, 90, 120 days. And because they took on all of that technical debt around security, all of that, we'll do that later. Now they're having to pay it off. Had they paid it in installments over time, might have been less expensive.
Again, going back to your original point about moving the conversation to the left, this is a perfect example of that. little transition as we talk about the problems that cybersecurity addresses. How do you approach the clients you deal with or conversations that you deal with businesses who have maybe a bit of a, or susceptible to a magic bullet approach where this little piece solves the problem? And maybe oversimplifying it, or I should say definitely oversimplifying it in that case. What would you say to that?
First, the desire to simplify this is natural, right? It's, I get why they want to do that. When I'm running a startup, and I don't mean to say this to pitch anything, but just when I'm doing my course catalog, my desire is to oversimplify that, do an 80% job that's going to satisfy most people who look at it. As a business person, you want to simplify the problems, to find those 80% solutions, and that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Within security, there's a lot of details that you sometimes need to work on. And one of the values that I get from threat modeling is that view of the forest, is the ability to see all of what's happening so that I can say, this is important, this isn't important. And by using the modeling approach, by saying, here's the landscape, it allows us to put the effort where it's going to have the highest payoff. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting too, because I think this problem, there's another side to the problem, and it's that the vendors of the various categories of cybersecurity technology products, often within their messaging is that our solution solves cybersecurity, all the cybersecurity problems, or that we do cybersecurity, ignoring the fact that there are so many other different categories that they're maybe not addressing, but because that's the product they sell or that's the category they're in, that's a bit of a misleading message for companies. What would you agree or disagree with that?
Look, every company outsources stuff. Every company says, we're going to hire a bookkeeper. We're going to outsource customer service. We're going to outsource logistics and delivery to Amazon. That's a business reality, right? We want to find vendors that will take away the things that are not core to the value that we deliver to the customer. Mm-hmm. So when you say accurately that vendors want to come in and tell you, we're going to solve all of this for you, I would love to have a vendor who can solve all of my financial needs for me, right? Yes. But if I'm running a startup, I still have a CFO. Mm-hmm. I still have a VP of customer service. I can't believe that anything that's really important doesn't require my oversight and understanding of that function. And so in the same way, when you have a vendor who's going to come in and say, I'm going to solve all of this for you, maybe they're going to solve phishing or malware, and that piece of it they're going to do really well for yes. you. Great. Are there other pieces? Maybe there are. And you should understand as an executive what those other pieces look like and what you're doing about them, rather than saying, oh yeah, I pay my bookkeeper, they handle the books, and if we're at risk of running out of money, they're going to tell me, right? You have oversight of them, mm-hmm. of all of these functions, and you need that same oversight for cyber.
Very good perspective.
Yeah, and on that same vein there, Adam, I know this is something that, Christian and I talk about a lot, and we ask all our guests about this as well, in which, especially with small and mid-sized organizations, they confuse cybersecurity with IT. And, if you talk to a business owner or, executive in a small and mid-sized business, if you ask them about, how are you dealing with cyber risk, they're like, well, our IT guy deals with that, or we have an IT service provider who deals with that. They somewhat wash their hands of that. What is it that we as practitioners can do a better job of to help them truly understand, and to your point there, that there responsible for the oversight and guidance of it. That's not something that they can simply outsource or just push on someone else. I'm curious to your thoughts on that.
So Marc Andreessen, who's now invented the web and is now a venture capitalist, says that that software is eating the world, that all businesses are now software businesses. Yeah. And so you as a small business person have to be aware of and comfortable with the pieces of software that are part of delivering value to your customers and making sure they do the things that you want them to do. That's a great customer experience, that's ease of use, that's reliability, and it's security. And if you outsource the security of the thing on which your business runs, if you say, oh, the building takes care of the little prox cards that let people in, and that's the only thing we need to do to secure our store. We don't need a cash register that locks. We don't need a way to handle the cash. Well, I would not advertise those facts if I were in your shoes. The reality is you need to think about cybersecurity. And you, to be fair, I think we as cybersecurity experts need to simplify the message that we're asking of a small business. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of this that's hard to do. There's a lot of this that is jargon laden and difficult. And so I'd love to meet small business people halfway and say, think through what happens if this goes wrong. But also here's a top five list of things you should be doing. And I want to plug some folks that I know and work with, the Global Cyber Alliance, globalcyberalliance.org. They've got a small business toolkit. It's really nice. It gives your small business people the stuff that they need. And there's a lot of discounted, inexpensive tools in there that have been vetted and work pretty well for getting started.
That's fantastic. What a great resource. And I know we're running low on time. Christian, I want to hand the floor back to you for maybe one last question.
Adam, what would you say in terms of, I know it is organization specific, these are questions they need to be asking themselves individually, but in general, universally, what would you say are the top one or two threats facing organizations today?
So the top threat that I think that faces every organization is not focused on that organization. It's the existence of automation of high scale attacks. Things like phishing emails are not targeted at your organization necessarily. The ransomware and the worms are not targeted at your organization necessarily, but you need to patch, you need to use multi-factor authentication to protect yourself from those things, because they're not focused in on you. They're just focused in on everybody. And there's a metaphor people like to use. They say, I don't have to run faster than the bear, I just have to run faster than you. But the truth is, today's bears are lazy. They've got machine guns. They spray down the field. They shoot anything that moves, and they don't care what it is. They'll eat it or not later on. And so you have to defend yourself against these high volume threats first. Mm-hmm. And then we can get into some details later on of what else you might need to do. But that's the starting point.
That's the low-hanging fruit.
Fantastic. Adam, before we let you go, if our viewers want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
So, you know, I like LinkedIn as a professional network and a professional conversation. That's a great place. And also I'll mention my blog. If you go to adam.showstack.org, blog. I talk a lot about threat modeling and how do we do it. And so that's a focused resource that's available to people.
Awesome. Fantastic. Like I said, Adam, thank you again so much for taking time of your busy day to join us. We're very appreciative.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. This was a lot of fun. We should do it again sometime.
Sounds good.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'll be a recurring guest. So thank you again so much. And Chris and I will be back momentarily to wrap things up for today's show.
I'll start off, first of all, Dominic, by saying shift left. That was the undercurrent for me. Shift the cybersecurity conversation to the beginning. Pay the debt early on. Do security by design. That's what I took from what Adam was saying, so that you don't have to be paying the debt over and over and over again down the road and end up paying so much more.
Exactly. You know, and I thought what Adam did such a fantastic job of was, again, breaking down even concepts like threat modeling, which is, you know, even for secure professionals, is a very abstract topic, and being able to make that relatable to business professionals and those who are non-technical, and why it's important for businesses to, in order to do cybersecurity effectively, you need to truly understand what your threats are and what risks you're trying to address through that. And, you know, it was I just was gawking the whole time Adam was speaking. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I've got those four questions here. What are we working on? What can go wrong? What are we going to do about it? And did we do a good job? That's plain English. Everybody can understand that, whether you're technical or not. So thanks for watching. You can check out our other podcasts on conversationsthatmatter.tv, or you can find the Cybersecurity Matters podcast on the YouTube channel of Conversations That Matter under a playlist, or you can listen to us wherever you normally listen to your podcasts. And we look forward to seeing you next week.